All right, Grant Napier, Doug Christie.
Yes, sir.
Golf Hour coming up next at 6 o'clock. So we will take your phone calls, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. What is wrong with that individual that just walked out of the room?
I'm not really sure. I'm sure he was dropped on his head at some point.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. It might have been yesterday.
Continually dropped on his head. Right?
Yes, sir. Who you got tonight, Napier?
I've got the
Dubs
Houston
or the
Rockets.
Really?
Yeah.
Close one?
Yes.
I like that. Yeah, I think this is going to be probably a solid competitive game. I think it'd be surprised. I mean, both teams have to have a healthy respect for each other. I think they both figured out ways to win. Obviously, Golden State thinks that they can just make it happen.
You know what the key is? And I'll tell you why I'm having such a difficult time. I don't know which Steph Curry is going to show up.
This is true.
And I am really having a problem trying to figure out Steph Curry, where he's at right now.
I'd give you an example, Grant. When he comes out, third quarter, goes off, they take a big lead.
Yeah, they're up double digits.
Yeah, because when he is playing that way, it makes everyone else better. It opens up the floor in ways that you just can't explain, because pick and roll defense, help side defense, all those different things change. And when he is not either aggressive, or if he's aggressive and not hitting his shots, then it changes the whole complexion. Because look, you got Draymond Green, who really doesn't want to shoot, Clay, who was a little apprehensive, and now you got KD with this whole isolation thing probably that's in his head a little bit. So there are a lot of things going on with Golden State tonight. I would say if they are going to win, they're going to win on the defensive end tonight.
All right, let's get to some phone calls at 339-1140 and 800-920-1140, and we get to Mitch. Hi, Mitch.
How you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
Like you said, if Michael Porter Jr. clears medically, I think you got to take him. I think Phoenix will take DeAndre Ayton.
Right.
And I hope Michael Porter is himself before the injury, because, you know, like Kyrie Irving missed most of his freshman season. Michael Porter played like 15 minutes. But if it's clear, it's kind of like I'm wondering why 21 other teams passed on Michael Trout, or all those guys pass on Aaron Judge. To me, I think it's a no-brainer. I think you got to take... I think Michael Porter Jr. is more of a sure factor than a kid, Luka.
Mitch, I will say this. In today's game, Michael Porter Jr. is prototypical from the standpoint that he's 6'10 plus. I think he measured in at 6'10 and three quarters or something like that. He has the ability to put the ball on the deck from the rebound on the defensive end all the way down the court. He can make plays, run the pick and roll. He's athletic enough to get in a lane and finish, and then he can pull up and knock down jump shots. The only question, so if the medical wasn't there, Mitch, he's the number one pick. But since the medical is there, that's going to be the big question. Can he clear the medical? Do you see a 10 to 15 year career at a really high level in him?
Can somebody get over a back injury? I'm hearing comparisons to Kevin Durant, maybe not recently, but maybe before the injury, they were comparing him to Kevin Durant. And thanks for taking my call.
All right, thank you. I understand that when players are very talented, they like to compare him to other talented players. And I'm trying to remember when Kevin Durant was a freshman at Texas. And it's very difficult. And he said before college, you know, maybe he was being compared to that. I think you got to be real careful. And I think that Mitch is right. He was kind of compared to Kevin Durant coming out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
If healthy, I don't think there's any question the guy has a lot of talent. Now, I don't know anything about his motor. I don't know anything about his personality. I don't know anything about, is he a team guy? Is he a me guy? I don't know any of those things.
Yeah, and, you know, we've heard some things that there at Missouri, there was questions about him as an individual, but I had never heard that prior to that. So, you know, those things are hard to say. You're going to have to get in, judge him, put him through some, you know, questions and different things like that. But when you talk about the basketball set, I mean, he has it in spades, Grant. The only question, and it's a big one, because when you talk backs are big. Larry Bird went down with the back. We could go on and on about people whose back has derailed their career, but this guy has the talent to be that next level type of player in the NBA.
All right, let's get to Casey. Hi, Casey.
Hey, Grant. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, Doug. How's it going?
All right. How are you, sir?
I just wanted to Good, good. I just want a quick question. I haven't heard too many people talking about it, and I just wanted to run it by you guys. What do you think of the Kings trading the number two pick for a couple of key players that are already developed, maybe some players that don't need developing or some talent that doesn't need waiting? We know what they can do. We know what they bring to the table, and maybe we can get some stuff that'll
I don't think the number two pick would get you. I don't think the number two pick in this draft would get you that.
Give me an example. You got some names for us?
Okay, so, you know, if say, for instance, I don't know, I'm just throwing out Boston. Say Boston wanted to throw a couple of young players our way.
Got to give me a name. You talking like Jaylen Brown? Don't sigh on me. You say Jaylen Brown, well, I mean, say we got a conversation.
Boston's not doing
that.
It depends on who's at that number two pick. If the number one pick is
DeAndre Ayton.
Teams
that are established and close to winning championships aren't trading their players.
But doesn't Boston still have draft picks?
They have draft picks all over the world, but they're not, their core is not going anywhere.
Okay. I
wasn't necessarily thinking Boston, but just young talent that's already developed is what I was thinking.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, because that is a valuable commodity, because what you're betting on in the NBA draft is that player turns out to be something. That's why we see so many swings and misses, because the talent is there, the potential is there, but something happens and it doesn't pan out. We've seen it many, many times, especially here in Sacramento. If the name was right, Grant and I have talked, you uncover all these stones and look, and if it is something that is what you consider a can't miss, you got to entertain it at least.
I just hope that we don't squander the pick again. We haven't had one this high since 1987 or 86 or 89, something like that, and we blew it then, and I'm just really hoping Divac and the guys pull it together. And if we don't trade it, make the pick. If we do trade it, get some talent that'll help us win and get some W's on the board.
Positive energy, Zach. Positive energy, my friend.
Casey,
I'm sorry. Take a deep breath. Blow it out. Positive energy, my friend.
No worries, man. I appreciate you guys. You guys have a good one. Thanks.
All right, thank you.
You know what's interesting, Grant, about that Boston scenario? I think they make a run at it next year. But you have so many wing players. You got Gordon coming back. You got Jaylen Brown. Now you got the kid, what's his name from Duke? Jason Tatum. I mean, all those guys pretty much play the same position. But the point is, I mean, really, you put them all out there at the same time.
That's why I won't have any problem if the Kings take Luka Doncic. I don't care if they have Bogdan and Buddy and Justin Jackson. So what?
Get out there and go. Yeah. The one thing that is about Boston is those guys all are elite size, man.
Yes,
they're all 6'8". It's like, goodness gracious. But that is a la a Draymond Green, who a guy that can do everything on the floor. Now, he doesn't score as much as them, but the defense, the playmaking, the rebounding, all those different things, that's what you're looking for. That's why those bridges, Mikhail and Miles, I really like them, because I see them as those type of players at the next level.
We saw Jimmy Goldstein.
Yes.
In the background. He's at every game, isn't he?
Never wears the same outfit twice, Grant.
Is that right?
Yes.
All right.
That might have been, leopard skin that he had on. Who knows?
All right. 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Let's get to Mike. Hi, Mike.
Grant, Doug, what's up, guys?
Hey, how are you?
Dude, I'm doing good. Pumped up. The Kings got the number two pick. Woo! Okay,
yes, sir.
I know, Doug, this is a question for you and Grant, because, you know, you were calling the plays. But the last time the Kings were really, really good, we were international. You know, we had Peja, we had Vlade, we had Hito. There's probably another player.
You could count me as international.
Right, you know, we got players all over. You know, we have T-Web from Michigan. So we were all over the map, and we played so good. So if they draft Luka, then you have Buddy from the Bahamas. We already have Bogdanovic. What do you guys think on that?
I think you get just good basketball players, and I don't care where they're from. I really don't. It's always nice to relive the past, but that was the past, and it worked for that team. I think you're going to take players that are what in your eyes are the best available available talent. And if they're from Europe, great. If they're from South America, great. If they're from Australia, great. If they're from here in the good old US of A, great. I don't think it's really a factor. I really don't.
And to Grant's point, you know, part of what we did is the style of basketball, and now we've watched other teams take that style. And the reason, to Grant's point, is I'm going to take Boston for instance. You got Jason Tatum, he's from America. You got Jaylen Brown, he's from America. Gordon Hayward, he's from America, but they play that style of basketball that you're speaking to. So it's not so much where they're from; it's what, how do they play, what do they deliver, what's their IQ. And if you can match those things up, we're doing what you're saying. It's just in a different way.
All right. So, Doug, what was it like for you to play on that team with players from around the world in the 2000s?
I learned a lot of different cuss words that I didn't know before. no, it was incredible because you know what you find? You find that the one language that we all spoke was basketball and winning. It, you know, all cultural lines went out the window. I learned a lot of different things about different cultures and stuff like that. But, I didn't need to speak Serbian or Turkish to understand body language and encouragement and positivity and sharing and all those different things. So it was an awesome experience. It was what I call basketball nirvana.
All right, thanks, guys. Go Kings.
You got it. Go Kings.
All right, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. I get the fact that everybody wants the star. Of course you do. But I said this to Dave, and I've said this to you.
Mm-hmm.
Be very careful that you are not expecting a star in November and December and January, because in all likelihood, you're not going to get a guy that's going to be a star next year. What you're hoping for is in 3 years they're a star.
Yeah, and listen, I'm using Boston tonight for whatever reason for a lot of examples. Jason Tatum looks to be that type of player that's going to turn into a star. But Jaylen Brown is probably on that cusp. You don't know, but is he one hell of a player? I think more than anything, you just have to have talent. If you give me a guy that's going to have a 10 to 12-year career that's going to be a contributor, not just somebody, but he's going to be out there and he's going to be balling. That was the one thing that Jerry West frowned. If you look at his history, his of picks of guys that he brought into the NBA, they not only were players for a long time, but they contributed for a long time, and that's what you want to find.
All right, if you want to call the show, we welcome your calls at 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we will check in on what the Atlanta Hawks are thinking. Andre Aldridge for Fox Sports will talk to us about Atlanta, and they're in a pretty good position, as you could see Marvin Bagley perhaps if he's available on the board at three going to Atlanta.
And they need quite a few things. I mean, obviously, did they trade their coach or did he just leave?
No, he left.
They
allowed him to get out of his
contract. They allowed him. But, you know, new coach, they have a lot of different things going on there. From a 59 win, I think that's the year that they had Paul Millsap and all those guys, to now Jeff Teague. It was a sharp drop off,
yeah.
And now they are pretty much in a rebuilding phase.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. They had Al Horford, they had Paul Millsap,
yep.
Damari Carroll, they had Jeff Teague,
yep.
And then they all left.
Yeah, just and it happened like lightning in a bottle. Before you know it, and they ran into a LeBron James, which most Eastern Conference teams do. But they were winning at a really high clip. I remember
and
that
they all got hurt in that one playoff when they had the number one seed.
Yes,
and they all got hurt.
Yeah, but the style of basketball was that passing, cutting, sharing, and a defensive mindset.
All right, let's get to KD. What's up, KD?
Hey, what's happening? Hey, you know, I know the guy was talking about the all-world team, and Grant, you said it right. But I think what Kings fans are losing really sight of is that our system that Adelman had in place was incredible. And Doug talks about this all the time. And I just believe this, that if we were to take this current Kings team and put them in the right system, I'm not saying that we need some changes. I agree. But if you take these players and you put them over there with Stevens and at the Celtics, you put the same core players, I believe that this team would be more competitive than they are now. I'm not saying they'd be in a finals or Eastern Conference or Western Conference finals. But I do believe that the system is set up, and it's also set up for the type of players that you have, and you have to be able to adjust for what their weaknesses and their strengths are. What do you guys think about that?
I think that you're correct with systematic approach. I think also the system can also hide some of the weaknesses if it's a defensive, more of a team defense, more than a individual defense. I know that the San Antonio Spurs, they try to keep the ball out of the middle, so everything is forced to the baseline. So if you let your guy get to the middle, you're probably going to be headed over to the bench. So from what you're saying, I understand, because a lot of the elite teams that we're watching, from Utah this year to Golden State, Houston, Boston, yep, that systematic approach, I think it helps the players, because it takes a little bit off of them, as opposed to that whole one-on-one mentality. It's do you do your job? If you do your job, yep, let us depend on the game plan and what have you.
Right, and you can see how the ISO ball is now affecting Golden State, because that's not their system. That's not what works. So I think, and I'm not knocking, our coach. You know, I think this year is going to be a determining factor. You know, however, there has been, when he was at Memphis, his record slid, and since he's been here, the record's declined. That's partially has to do with players.
Well, first of all, I don't agree with that. He was highly successful when he was the head coach at Memphis, and in his final year, he used 27 different players, and with 27 different players, was still able to get the team into the playoffs.
The most ever, Grant.
That's right, the most ever.
But he did take over a playoff team, right?
I'm going to tell you something about Dave Yeager, and Doug and I are privy to get into practices and travel with the team. This guy is a really, 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 really good basketball coach. And it's not like he doesn't see who he has and what's going on. Last year, he was dealing with teenagers and a couple of savvy vets, but he played his young players a lot of minutes that had never played before in the NBA. You can't just discount that. This year, he said it, and Doug mentioned this, and Doug always mentioned this. At the end of the season, he said, next season, we're taking the training wheels off. Yeah, all right, so I'm thinking you're going to see a lot of different things coming up, KD.
And you also got to know, KD, the wind was kind of getting to us there. I think you were driving in a drop top there, buddy.
A what?
A drop top.
What is that?
You don't know what a drop top is.
I know what
is.
A convertible is, but yeah. I don't know what a drop top is.
Same thing.
All right, we speak different languages.
No, we're speaking it. Well,
I got a convertible. What's a drop top?
Well, I'm putting you on game. It's okay, right. Grant. All I mean, right. Listen, you learn something new every day. Drop top. Get it? Drop the top. Convertible? Whatever.
Is it turned up?
Yeah, it's definitely lit as hell. All you right. Feel me?
All right. Or in this case, it would be turned down because it would not be up.
So. Look at you.
I'm just asking, man, because I'm trying to learn.
Oh, man, you made me lose my train of thought.
No, I'm just asking because I've never heard of that.
Oh, man, I wanted to get into I had something good for
I have no
Coach
idea.
Yeager.
All I'm saying God, is, all right, so if I go home and say to my wife, hey, do you want to get a drop top?
She going to know immediately.
She ain't going to know. She's going to go, what are you talking about?
Oh, yeah, she going to drop. She going to say yes, definitely. I guarantee you, Grant. You say convertible, she's going to say yeah, but she's going to be looking at you like, come on, man. You say drop top, she going to look at you and go.
She'll be walking around topless if I say that.
Hey, I'm saying ain't nothing wrong with that either.
No, I know. We live on a golf course, though. It could have a couple of issues.
Four!
Everybody will be hitting the ball at my house now.
Oh, man. This is,
what were you going to say?
I have no idea.
Oh, come on. Yeah. You know, come on, man.
Nah, I lost it, too.
Drop top.
Oh, man.
Anyway, for the last caller, sorry that you were calling from a...
Drop top.
Drop top.
Well, it sounded that way, Grant.
All right.
Dang it.
So where were you going with this?
I'm
going
to remember at some point. It'll just come to me.
I guarantee it's not going to just come to you.
It'll happen during the golf hour, and you'll be talking about a wedge, and all of a sudden I'm going to spit it out.
I actually am hitting my wedges beautifully now that you talk about that. I've fallen in love with my 54-degree wedge. It's just been phenomenal.
It
See,
is.
What Tom got
I believe I have the same one.
Yes,
it
you
is.
Do. You
it's
don't
marvelous.
Hit it as well as I do. But
well, you don't know. You haven't seen that one yet. Well, if you ask the
new,
guy that was out
the
there.
New Ping Glide wedges, they have an extra groove on them, and it makes a huge difference. And so, basically, I used to always chip, and a lot of the around the greens would use a 60, and Tom's got me using my 54-degree ping wedge, the glide wedge, and it's boy, I've been. It's just, and of course, Tom told me how to use it better, and so I'm my short game's getting a lot better, man.
Yes, we anyway. Golfing this weekend, man.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Okay. Yeah. Let's make it happen.
All right. I'll ask my wife if she wants to caddy for us.
Okay. Just well, didn't you say you're getting a new lease on the car?
Yeah, but not for another 6-7 weeks.
Check out the drop top.
Hey, I'm going to walk into Lexus. Hey, can I look at your drop tops?
And they're going to say, come right over here, sir.
Oh, my gosh. You are not well. I'm just saying that.
I know this. I know this.
We'll be right back. And we will check in on the Atlanta Hawks. We will get back to sports. They've got the third pick in the draft, and we'll try to figure out which way they're leaning. This is Sports 1140. All of our guests come to you via the Fire Wings hotline, and we're with you right up till 7 o'clock. Grant Napier, Doug Christie. Well, you know, the Atlanta Hawks may be in a really good situation here because they are third, and if everyone is right, and Ayton and Doncic go 1-2, and I'm not so sure that that will be the case, but if it is, then they have a couple of real good players, one being Marvin Bagley, the other being Jaren Jackson. I mean, they would have their pick at a Bamba, a Porter. I mean, they could be in a really good position. Andre Aldridge is a reporter for Fox Sports, Atlanta Hawks host as well. He joins us here on Sports 1140 KHTK. Andre, it's Grant Napier and Doug Christie. How are you?
I'm doing well tonight. How are you and Doug doing?
You guys? Know what? We're doing well. Obviously, you would rather be 1 or 2, but I think in this draft, I think the Atlanta Hawks are sitting pretty. Give me your thoughts on that.
You know, I would agree with you there, and only because I haven't been listening to everything today. Is the general thought out there that a Phoenix may trade down to 2? And is that what we're hearing?
I have not heard that. If that is the case, that's news to me. That would mean the Kings would have to absolutely be in love with a guy that they feel would not be on the board at 1. And the only player that I could think of that would be DeAndre Ayton. And I haven't heard that.
Okay. Just wondering there. But again, 2, obviously, like you said, you want to be 1. But to me, 2 and 3, just the way that this thing is shaking out, because those two guys are going to be gone, put you in a fairly good position. And you're talking to about a franchise that, you know, was feeling good about going to the playoffs 10 years in a row, understanding that that the rebuild was about to happen. But the reality of 24 and 58 really, really smacks you in the face a little bit if you haven't been down that road for a while.
Andre, when you look at the roster that is built up for the Atlanta Hawks, is there, if it went Andre Doncic, for instance, DeAndre Ayton and Luka Doncic, is there somebody that you look at to say, you know what, this is a really solid fit for Atlanta, or do you just go with best talent?
You know, my feeling would be go best talent, and I only go that way because we've been watching 5 years of Bud Ball. And everything that Coach Budenholzer brought from San Antonio here with him. So there was definitely a rhythm and a way that was a little different than we had seen before, even though we had had success before and with Larry Drew and Mike Woodson before Coach Bud got here. But because this is Lloyd Pierce's first job, the fact that he does have a good relationship with the GM Travis Schlenk, and the year they spent together out in Golden State, I'm not exactly sure the style of play or the plug-in guys. So just sitting in the back row looking at things, I was impressed with what I saw from Bagley, but I didn't see a lot of the other guys. What I saw from Bagley was awfully impressive, especially looking at a roster that's going to be extremely young and just to have some versatility there.
You know, you wonder with Atlanta and a new coach, and you talked about Phoenix, do you see any way that the Atlanta Hawks might try to move into one of the top 2 spots?
I mean, do you like those two guys, or do you have a guy that does the center for me, does a center in Arizona stand up so head and shoulders above everything else that you would want to do that?
You know what? I that's a great question. And I know you've been dealing with this and we've been dealing with it. There are a lot of people that feel he's the one player in this draft that has superstar type potential. But he also, you know, we've had people on that think that they also could see him being a bust for a guy taking number one. So, you know, I'm glad I'm not making the decision.
Boy, me too. And again, this is from the cheap seats talking now, but let's say if Phoenix goes down to two because they don't want Doncic at number one and they know they could get him at two, I would ask Doug that too. Would that take some pressure off of a kid coming from overseas that has to also adjust to the culture, even though he's played for the coach before?
Yeah, you know, it's a possibility because of the relationship-based thing and all that. I think that there would be a comfort, Andre. I don't know. You know, there's still going to be pressure because if you're selected that high, look, we want the goods. You got to deliver. So from that standpoint, I think that pressure is going to be there either way. I just find it hard-pressed to think that looking at the Phoenix Suns, the needs that they have, that big man position, you already have a stud in Devin Booker.
I
don't see them passing up DeAndre Ayton, Andre.
The other thing I would ask both of you, and again, it's great to talk hoops with I have so much respect for both you guys. I want to bring up a name, Jeff Teague, who was our point guard for such a long time. Taken at 19 in the draft, same as we got a pretty good player at 19 last year with John Collins.
Yeah.
And 19 is one of our three first-round picks this year. But my question to you, and the reason I bring up Jeff Teague is a very good player, but to me he really benefited from always having a second guard either right above him or right at his same level, whether that was Mike Bibby, whether that was Kirk Heinrich, or whether that was Dennis Schroeder after he got here. Dennis Schroeder, no question, is our best player now, but he really benefited from having to be under Jeff for a little bit. And so much is said about what we saw from Doncic in the EuroLeague Final Four and everything with that, but don't you just think it's putting extra pressure on any point position to come here and expect the guy to deliver the goods?
Yeah, you make a valuable point, and I will bounce this back to you, Andre, because my next question was going to be, because you're right about that pressure. Now, that pressure could even take another step because Dennis Schroeder kind of has asked for a trade, from my understanding, or he's insinuated along those lines. Where does that stand? Because if you did take a point guard and there is no Dennis Schroeder, well, obviously the pressure is just enormous.
I would think that the first thing it would be that the we all have bosses, and I would think the bosses would remind him he's under contract. but I think that he is, and you guys both know how it is internationally. I think the quotes came from Germany, and he is a beyond a star. I mean, the national team is his now. I mean, Dirk told him that a couple of years ago, and they really did ask him about losing, having been on a playoff team, and what's it like to be on a team that's at the bottom of the Eastern Conference. And look, he's still a young kid, and so I don't think it was so much a trade demand, but the parts about it looks like Indiana and Milwaukee are really doing the things to win, that's a little problematic.
Andre, while we have you here, I hope you don't mind me switching gears, but Doug and I have been asking this question, and so we are happy that we have someone in the Atlanta sports scene. How on earth did the Atlanta Braves get this good this soon?
Let me tell you something. So my schedule is pretty much all in on Hawks and a little bit of Braves every year. And we went to the playoffs a few years ago, kind of backed in, and Justin Upton and crew were on that crew. We lost a game in Chicago, and that still guaranteed us being into the playoffs. But that was several years ago. Nobody here saw what's happening now, being able to happen this fast with the way that it's happening. I'm a little prejudiced towards Californians. So if it's not New York, I appreciate that, Grant. But
I love it.
Freddie Freeman's a Southern California like me, and it's pretty much been Freddie Freeman and not a whole lot else as they've been losing these games and losing these games and losing these games. And I don't want to get too excited about young players, but the second baseman, Ozzy Albies, it's just been unbelievable. They put Dansby Swanson on buses and on billboards and everything because he's a hometown guy last year.
Right. Okay.
And whether it's we're talking basketball or whatever, I'm just not a big fan. Maybe I'm the grumpy old guy now, but I'm just not a big fan of putting all that pressure on the young players. And Dansby had a little trouble with all that weight. But this kid, Albies, is like, number one, you would think he was a bat boy unless you saw him shirt off because of the size. And he's popping home runs like crazy, like he's supposed to. Wow. And just the energy that he's brought, obviously everybody's looking at Acuna, who's been on the job for about 3 weeks now. I can't answer how it's happened, but it's a great feeling down
there. I got to tell you, last year when I was in for the Hawks game on my day off, I had to do my radio show, and the studio that they put me in was right next to the new ballpark in that area.
Oh, wow.
And I was telling you, I was blown away. And again, this was the middle of winter, but I was just like, I was just blown away at that entire area around the ballpark and what it looked like. I just thought, wow, this could be beautiful for baseball.
Look, you guys we're all spoiled in more ways than one, in that we work in sports and we've seen the things we've done. And Doug, you participate in it, so. Right there in Sacramento, we know what the environment was like there, what the noise was like there. And again, I'm California first, so the years I spent at ESPN, the hairs on the back of my neck would raise up a little bit because of the little bit of the East Coast bias that is just true. West of the Mississippi, it just seemed like a lot of people either didn't care or didn't give credit to stuff that was going on there. But having gone to Boston for basketball games and Cleveland and New York, where the noise and the intensity and the fan knowledge is at the next level, I can still honestly say, not because I'm on the radio with you guys, but it's just the fact that going to the games in Sacramento back in the day, there was no noise situation that I've seen in a basketball arena in America like that at all, just period.
Agreed.
Second to none. So the reason I'm kind of going that way was covering traveling baseball a little bit. When you go to St. Louis and you see that environment, and you go to even Cleveland when it's cold and you see the environment there, and New York, either team, you get a little jealous of that because that is not what happens in our market down here for baseball. So the new stadium here in the second season of the new stadium, what they've done with the environment and trying to build a little bit that some of these other areas have, that was a win regardless of how the team was doing. So to have the team winning is a bonus.
Hey, Andre, we really appreciate you taking the time. Great talking to you, and hopefully we can do it again in the near future.
Yes, sir.
All right, you got it. Great talking to you guys.
Hey, you too. That's Andre Aldrich joining us here from Atlanta. Doug Christie, Grant Napier, and we're back right after this. Hour coming up in a little bit, 10 minutes to be exact. Grant Napier, Doug Christie. We get phone calls at 339-1140 and 800-920-1140, and we get to Kevin. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. Really appreciate it. You know, as a longtime Kings fan, you just tell me if you think I'm wrong or if I'm missing it here.
You're on the right show for that.
That's why I'm here. There's a part of me that kind of feels more comfortable if the opportunity presented itself for a trade down to get like a Porter Jr. or Bagley and someone from the Bridge District, right? Either Miles or McCall, because, you know, we don't have the best track record, and the idea of chasing a superstar, the downside risk as a Kings fan, you know, worries me. We're not just one player away, and I've still got sort of DeMarcus syndrome back in the back of my mind. Am I wrong to think that might be better for us long-term than going for the home run with a number two pick?
It could be, and it could not be. I don't agree with you about the track record. I think Vlade Divac's track record has been pretty good. It hasn't been perfect, but I think it's been pretty good in terms of drafting. Beg your pardon?
Yeah, it's been much better than past history.
Right. So, I mean, I'm confident that they'll draft a very good player. Do I think Vlade is absolutely dead set against trading the pick down? No, I don't. I think he will listen to all takers and see what's out there. I absolutely believe that.
Do you think there's enough aggregate talent in that mid-level to be better than what we might get at a two? What's this draft like compared to past drafts?
Well, Doug brings this up all the time. A guy that was taken at the bottom end of the draft last year, Kyle Kuzma, was just voted first-team All-NBA rookie, and he was taken almost at the almost in the second round. The best player to come out of last year's draft, and I'm not talking about Ben Simmons because he was in the draft before, was a player that was taken, what, 13?
Yep.
Was that where he was? Donovan Mitchell? So, I mean, at these things, Kevin, they're not always easy to, you know, figure out perfectly. But I would say this. If the Kings don't get a very good player with the second pick, it's going to cost people jobs.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. That's what we all worry about. We have a great opportunity, but with that comes a lot of responsibility. And like you guys, I just hope that it works out. I love the team, love the organization. I'm glad they're here. So thanks for the time, guys. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you. I mean, I think we can safely say that.
Yeah, and to his point, Grant, you weigh the – you weigh the fact that if you select at number two, let's whoever that player is, and then you say if we were to make a trade and go down, is there a big difference in the player that you get based upon, because you're going to get something else if you trade down.
Right.
What is the greater value? And those are the things that you have to – and then Vlade has the job of – he has to take into consideration a macro view as well. He has to look down the road and free agency in a year. And I know that's going down, but that's part of what it is you got to have a game plan that extends out.
Like, all right, if you take a look at the Kings at number two, ask yourself, would there be a big, big difference between selecting two and five this year? Dallas is at five. Is Dallas right now looking at someone that they feel will not be there at five, that they can't live without? Maybe they make a deal. And then if the Kings have a player, let's say it's Michael Porter Jr. I'm just saying.
Okay.
And they're pretty sure that that player is going to be available at five and that's who they want. Then a deal like that makes sense. The same way it made sense for Danny Ainge last year because he wanted Jason Tatum. And he had a team that wanted their pick. And he felt pretty comfortable that the Lakers were going to take Lonzo Ball too.
Yep.
Thus, he knew he could get his guy at three and get a pick for it. I mean, you can't rule things out like that.
No, you cannot. And how did that work out for him? I mean, we talk about Donovan Mitchell. I'd be hard-pressed to say that Jason Tatum isn't the best player. I mean, it's Apple, you know, throw it up in the air, whatever you want.
Yeah.
But the point is, it worked out. So can it work? Yeah, it can, especially if the talent is relative, as the caller was saying.
All right, we've got the Golf Hour coming up next. That's right here on Sports 1140 KHTK.